Okay, welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We have some difficulty, a little beeps, and we're back on air. So this morning, we're going to be chatting about a couple things and just get a few old news out of the background, out of the way here. We asked questions for the city and county of Honolulu real quick regarding the sewage spill. And we've had a little success, but you know, this system, they want to cover up, and the director of environmental services, she pulled a fancy one. You know, she lied the first day, lied the second day, lied the third day about the volume of sewage, and then she came back, and they say she was really good at coming back and clarifying that she had lied or basically made a mistake or miscommunicated. So I requested a lot of the documents that would have spoken to the truth, and this request was under the UIPA. Now, this is under Mayor Caldwell. So, for what I asked for, it's interesting that I guess this is the way they think that they're going to continue to cover it up. But, folks, just to get a few records, that I had copies of emails, text messages, and memorandums and reports between personnel in the Department of Environmental Services, Facilities Maintenance, Hawaiian Dredging Construction Company, Inc., regarding the repair of sewage lines in response to sewage spill at or near Atkinson Drive. From 8/24/15 and from 8/19/15 to 8/31, they want to charge me $4,160 to sit here and read to you her lies that she lied about the volume of material. So we're going to appeal this. And it'll take some while, but we already know snakes in the grass is snakes in the grass. So this is Lori Carquina. This is the mayor of Honolulu. This is the guy who's wanting to be your mayor again, but these are the types of people that they hire. You know, and someone wrote, I had to chuckle, wrote a letter saying, isn't it valiant of her to basically come back and admit that she lied? And they didn't use the term lie, but to come back with the truth, that's unheard of in this city and this government. Well, you're right. It really isn't, because none of them are truthful at any given time unless it's the day that they're trying to encourage you to vote, or they'll, you know, there's transparency then. But, yeah, the city and county of Honolulu is actually doing themselves in with the facts, and they're going to hide them, but, you know, not for long. And I'm wondering what kind of lawsuits and what kind of complaints, and there's always an avenue of obtaining this information through the state health department, because they're a part of the process. So we'll get it back to you, and we'll be able to know exactly. I should say, we know that they lied. They've already admitted that, and we know that they presented facts that weren't facts, and they gave a long explanation. So it's difficult to accept one to say it's a mistake in communication when they give this elaborate set of circumstances to convey the message that they're conveying. And then you sit and you say, well, wait now. Just to let us know that how many gallons are you offered all of this, the little ladies pulling the tops off of the sewage treatment, sewer lines and all of that, and your pumps weren't working, you didn't communicate, and then later you come back and say, oh, we made a mistake. So you understand. We'll get to the bottom of it, and just be reminded we're in the state of Hawaii, and anything goes. And for those of you out there that would be inclined to call me up and say, well, it happens in other states, Well, good for you. You're well read, and you should offer some advice to those other states too, and maybe you can coach them along. But ultimately, it speaks about the cost of living, the high cost of living here, the unfair draining of people's savings and what have you due to taxes, sewer fees, water charges, road weights, and all of those things. Eventually, it comes back to bite you in the butt. But anyway, I'm going to change subject. And what I want to talk about today is that, you know, over the years, we've talked about the Veterans Administration. And we've had extensive conversation about the U.S. vets. And Ron Hahn and Dahlberg and that veterans. And I've been basically gathering facts and being quiet about it. And I've been working with them. There's Tina Quizon. Some of you know her from her Pathways of Paradise. And sometimes she contributes to the show here on some background research. And she has a Pathways of Paradise. And let me say this up front. Now, it's one thing to say, you know, when I, on occasion, I see a veteran or something, or a soldier, and I'm inclined, that feel-good moment, I buy him a lunch or something, you know, it's on me, I'll pay for it, or something like that, you know, just as a gesture of thank you, and thank you, because I'm a former soldier, and 3 years in the military, and I understand giving that sacrifice, but I also understand that they're, having gone to the military, it was one of the best things that have ever happened to me, and I still believe that it has great, great benefits. And it, the product of military is, we look at the middle class that we recognize in America that's dwindling and what have you, and we pay some respect to that whole effort of veterans and what they did and how they made the country strong and what we stand for. And as a result, there is the Veterans Administration to thinking in that same vein, that we care for the soldier. You don't have to be active duty. And in fact, you still can get services and medical care and other treatments when you really are not injured in the military, but as a veteran, and you can qualify. So Ms. Quizon has found herself in a predicament that while we are going to assign a name to her, and we're going to talk about her name, it could be any of you. We also know that recent disclosures and findings, and I don't believe it was a recent disclosure and finding. I believe they knew all along that many soldiers were placed on waiting lists, for example, in Arizona, but that happens everywhere, waiting lists and moving around, and people were dying and becoming very ill while waiting for services. And what I have learned in this predicament here with Ms. Quizon, I've been privy to some things. And so you may recall way back we talked about her involvement in the YWCA and the U.S. vets, and Daryl Vinson, we've talked about him and his program. Now, there's millions and millions and millions of dollars at stake here. We have found ourselves in this predicament, and there's so many people that talk on the periphery about veterans. They have that feel-good moment when they talk. It's like it gives them some purpose in life, it suggests. Not, I mean, the people that are supposedly helping the veterans groups and the Congresswoman, Tulsi Gabbard, and all of the Hiranos and Shats. I'm sorry, there's a thousand Sites and Shats that are out there. But the problem is, what I've witnessed, and it's a sad set of events. Just recently, I had the privilege of visiting Ms. Quizon in the hospital and at Tripler. Now, she qualifies for medical care and treatment, so we've talked about this to her on air here. She since her bout with homelessness or experience with homelessness or her status, she has found that she has breast cancer. They treated her at Tripler. Then just recently, she has heart problems, and they treated her there and did surgery and basically told her she has one day that they can afford to allow her to stay in the VA hospital. But they also gave her, and put yourself in this predicament. You're living in your car, or out of your car, or in your car, however you want to say it, and you find that you have heart problems. And the doctor says, well, we can fix that, but we don't suggest you return to your car. You need to have a bed and a place to stay. Well, that's exactly what the U.S. Vets has and is supposed to offer. And I was privy, and I'm not disclosing any information medically about her, but I'm sitting there, and the doctor and this administrator, and let me tell you something, folks. If you want to get screwed, deal with the Veterans Administrator in the Veterans Administration program. They're little gods. And the type of God that don't have any care for anyone. He's not there as we've been taught, the God who's passionate and what have you. They're gods who are part of a system. And you may recall, I've talked about all of them in that system, Dahlberg. And we're going to share with you the types of people and some of the questions that comes into play in their background as to their handling the Veterans Administration processes. But back to Ms. Kizon. Now, she is in the hospital, laying flat on her back, can't move, and is told, you know, if you don't get a place to stay or lay, and then we need you to be confined to a bed for at least some time, because there could be a complication developed from you sitting up or in your car. So we need to be stretched out for circulatory problems or prevent issues with that. And they tell her, well, you're going to have to leave. You can't stay in the hospital because this is kind of like an inpatient or outpatient treatment. And then you tell her, well, we've contacted. We can't help you anymore because we have a place at Kehi Lagoon, which is run by veterans. But we can't help you anymore. That's all we can do for you because we talked to the U.S. vets and the counselor, and they want nothing to do with you, basically, because what is it that you did? You must have done something, quoting the administrator and the doctor there. You must have done something wrong or something terrible that you have this problem. They don't want to serve you. Ladies and gentlemen, there's two things wrong with that process. A doctor telling you that you've had the surgery and then telling you you'll die if you don't get a place to lay down, and you've gotten that treatment because you are a veteran, and part of that veteran process and caring for the veteran is to actually, you receive the heart surgery, you receive the breast surgery, you get treated for that, but as part of the recovery, because you have somehow pissed Daryl Vincent off, that clique of elitist people who sit there and suck up the millions and millions of dollars, the Ron Swans, the gentleman, the state czar for Kippen, and all of those people, Dr. Cook and all, and we're going to lay this out, and you can go back to carolcox.com and look at some of the discussions we've had. We've laid it out already with the greater details where what I found in this process, we have people, and many of you out there are going to say, well, you're just digging a bigger hole for it. No, if this is the American way, if this is supposed to be appreciating and caring for our veterans, how in the hell do you explain that a doctor can look at you laying flat on your back and tell you, well, we've done the surgery, we have concerns for your health, but we are told by Daryl Vincent's crew of the U.S. vets that you can't have a room in this bug-bitten infested place. You got 500 people out there practically involved in this, and the same organization, the U.S. Vets, managed the city project up in Waianae. And you're telling me that they can't find... This is just mean-spirited, evil practices. And then to go back and look at the bigger picture, this is what happens when we have these parades of Tulsi Gabbard and Schatz and Hirano talking about the love and tenderness that they have in their hearts for, and the Ron Hans and the Dahlbergs have this love for the veteran. And they're screwing this veteran because this veteran exposed them for selling, or not selling, but serving rotten meat or spoiled meat or meat that had exceeded its date. This is a veteran who brought to you a situation where Governor Neil Abercrombie, you know who he is. You know the infamous, I want your vote in one session and he's out for many reasons. But sitting there eating barbecue off the, shrimp off the barbecue and drinking out of champagne glasses at the YWCA facility, celebrating the placement of veterans in this so-called extension program when in fact they were supposed to build jobs and build resumes and all of that, and they ended up using some of the veterans to go to churches and sell clothing and rummage sales and what have you, yard sales. Miss Kizon, one of those people. She was assaulted at the YWCA facility. They covered that up. I brought to you a long time ago that we met with Daryl Vinson personally and in private, and also in a formal meeting where he was supposed to, and he acknowledged that everything that was in the letters that Kizon had filed a complaint for, he admitted that his staff was wrong, yet he came and stuck the screw to her. And continues to do that. Now, if a doctor provides surgery and knows that, you're exposing yourself to a danger. Now, they say, well, you can go to the Kihei Lagoon and you can recover there for 3 days, but she has no money. But they can't do anything, and they won't fight and won't ask the question. And the administrator there, I don't recall his name, but he was so proud as a little peacock that to say, oh, yeah, well, we don't know what it is you did, but you must have done something really, really bad. What is it? And, she's saying, well, can you just memorialize what it was said? What was said by these people in the denial? Because you would think the integral part of this tripler experience would be, you identified, you were diagnosed with the problem, you were treated with the problem, as evaluated, treated, got surgery, and part of that critical part is also recovery. You would think, now, this is not a private practice of medical practice. This is the United States Veteran Administration at Tripler. So if you commit, you conduct and do the perform the surgery, and you've admonished this patient that there could be deathly consequences, then you would be pushed and pressed to make sure that this party, but instead, you must have done something wrong, must have pissed the people off, and on. It doesn't matter if she threw melted wax in their face. There's nothing that they have come along and said, what you did was so egregious that you are no longer a beneficiary of the VA or the Veterans Administration benefits. You are still qualified for surgery, still qualified for doctor's visits, evaluations. You're still qualified to stay in the hospital for one night or what have you, but you're not qualified to go get a bed bug, flea-bitten bed somewhere that's being run by an administration that is supposed to be carrying out. And that complements the medical treatment that this person has received. But they're so proud of themselves that, and I think the reason they're so proud and they've been emboldened with this kind of activities is that we find that, as I shared with you, the Kimberly Pine, at that time state representative, city council, who's completely wrapped up and involved with the U.S. vets, and even had an officer, Miss Kizon, wrote to her asking for assistance to intervene because she was being treated unfairly as a veteran who was in receipt of this veteran program. And she turned her back on her. Tulsi Gabbard had her to write a complaint, write a letter. Oh, well, you need to give more specifics. She gave more specifics and nothing happened. And you just keep going down the line. And she go to these people, and they're supposed to, on face value, they tell you, oh, we love the veterans. But they're slicing and dicing on some of them. And they're not really pushing and assessing the success of these programs. And they know these programs are failing, because how on earth can you have 500 today and next year you have 500 people with no homes or just living there, relying on there? Is the program working? I venture to ask the question publicly, where is the assessment of the U.S. Vets program, the bona fide assessment? Ms. Kizon wrote Shinseki. She talked to the Secretary of the Veterans Administration, and they all gave her a line of bull. They all said, we're looking into it. They all said, we'll get back to you. They all said, go back to them, and you should hear some of the stories, and I've been privy firsthand to them. You go to McDermott. Now, imagine yourself, the state representative, Bob McDermott. You know, Mr. America, family values, family rights, love everything that's American. Ms. Kizon went to him, and he told her in the process of, well, look, I will help you. I'll champion your cause. And he comes back, and then he conveys to her, well, you really pissed those people off, basically. You must have done something wrong. Now, I'm not saying, but why don't you do this, Ms. Kizon? And I'm paraphrasing some of this, but rest assured, I have the specific documentation, so don't go away thinking that I'm make-believe. I have this. I have my hands on it. It's in my tight hands, and if the occasion presents itself, we will be making this public. But to tell her, you know, look, this is State Representative Bob McDermott tells Kizon, and she goes to him as a veteran because, you know, he's Navy League, Mr. America, hate gays, hate gay sex, hate this, hate that, porno choices, people teaching our children wrong sexually, and all of that. You know, the take back our country mindset. Because something, it's gone to the demons, and he will rescue you. And he's also good with the veterans, and he's in tight. You know that deal. And he tells Kizon, listen, you're a whistleblower. Now, what if I can help you, and they may be able to do something for you if you sign a waiver that you will not blow the whistle, or if you saw violations in the future, you wouldn't report them. Now, if you sign that, I think we can get somewhere with these folks. Is Captain America telling a veteran to abandon all thoughts of participating and serving as a former military person, all those values that is instilled in us, right is right, wrong is wrong, and who better yet to reinforce that than Captain America? And so the story goes, she pursued that, attempted that, and then he began to say, well, I don't know, you really pissed those people off. They want nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Because you are a whistleblower. Now, that set two things going off in my mind. Bob McDermott, as a state representative, and this image that he projects, Mr. Captain America, somewhere there's chinks in the armor or kinks in the armor, or there's something there that's wrong, because nobody as openly and as aggressive as Mr. America himself and American values and folkways to tell a veteran, I can help you if you sign this agreement not to blow the whistle. You piss those people off. So you would think Captain America, America Bob McDermott, would have said, thank you so kindly. I am aware and familiar with the consequences of people blowing the whistle and how they can be shunned, ostracized, and sometimes, depending on the situation, murdered or shot or done, whatever. Thank you so much for bringing this and having the mindset and the fortitude to come and share this with the system. I will go and try and address this matter on your behalf and other behalf, the behalf of other veterans, because we cannot tolerate this. The system is already coming on the cusp and the heel of these people, where we've learned through admissions that many facilities in the VA system sucks anyway. It could be managed much better. And you would think this would be the golden opportunity for Captain America McDermott to really rise to the occasion, get his bullhorn that he was out there beating back the gays with their rights and interest to marry and same-sex marriage. Then he would take that energy and project it on behalf of the veterans. But instead, he admonishes this one veteran that she had made a fatal mistake by blowing the whistle, and they don't like you. They don't want nothing to do with you. And if Bob is out there, and if he believes that that's not factual, we'll present you the facts, and you can see for yourself. Veterans are veterans. They have done great things for this country. And as individuals, in every little dark corner, that under every little bridge, there's a hero that the systems like Tulsi Gabbard, Mazie Hirono, Brian Schatz, and all of them treat them as zeros, and then in turn use them when it comes to election time and talk about it. There should have been an investigation on behalf, regardless what they thought, what they felt, there should have been a complete investigation of the U.S. vets, because Kizon is not the only one that has presented this kind of information and the malfeasance that it involved. Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Oh, hi, Carol. Listen, I'm giving Tina my best. How's she doing? Is she back living in her car? Or?
Well, right now she's at a shelter, a small place that they allow her, I think, going to allow her 7 days, and there's an effort to fundraise for her. But, you know.
Oh,
gee. Hey, you know, when Johnny comes home, God only knows what he comes home to, but the guys, the politicians and all those guys are standing there holding Johnny up, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what about Mary? Mary comes home you're a whistleblower, and they want nothing to do with you.
You know, my dear wife, you know, you remember her, bless your heart, you came to document our story, you know, in the park, you know. And here's what, see, I did this, I whistleblower, what I did is I went to the authorities I thought I could trust. You know, for my dear wife, you know, and I was told by the social worker, oh, go to the Adult Protective Services. They'll help you. And guess what happened? I was taken to the court, and they were going to charge me for abusing my dear, lovely wife. And all I was doing is looking for help for her. And then they took her away from me. They put her in this foster care home, which was a terrible place. If you want bed bugs and mistreatment, go to one of these foster care homes. And it took me about a year or more to get that straightened out with the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went to the governor, the lieutenant governor, and then all of a sudden, you know, here's what they do. They give you a list of, oh, well, just call these numbers, and this is how we'll give you help, you know.
Right.
You call these numbers, what they do is they say, well, we can't help it. Try this number or try that number. And then you get that, and sometimes you'll be back in the same place you were before.
And call these numbers and go there and get a shower, and you go there and it's not open. Then you're told when you finally corner the guy, and he says, well, you can only get one shower a week. You understand? So there is something terribly wrong. And whether Kizon get rescued from donors, but we still, you can give her $1 million today, but she's still on the receipt of medical treatment from the VA. So what portion of this do we trust? What do we say, well,
yeah,
you know?
It's despicable. You know, my dear wife, if you remember the story, you know,
mm-hmm.
she broke her hip, and she ended up in the Castle Hospital. They did all the good stuff to operate on her, and then they said, well, you're going to need rehab, so we're going to just kick you. By the way, here's a place to go to rehab. But you can't, I mean, it's not a residence. You got to get it. Well, I didn't, I mean, I was from a wheelchair. How was that?
Well, let's make something clear, because we're treading in dangerous places now. Yours is a private citizen, and we don't want to convey and suggest that your wife was a veteran. Is that correct?
Right.
And let's
just the way of the whole darn system.
I understand, but let's just make sure for the listeners.
Yeah,
we delineate the, you know, your situation is horrendous, and we're talking about the VA administration, so I don't want to give the impression that one is but go ahead.
Well, no, I understand that. There's a solemn promise that a social contract with the VA that you're going to get this because you've served your time and you've done well you did your service, you know.
Right.
That's just totally outrage. And then you have Derek Vincent too. Yeah, that guy, he's beyond the pale. I mean, I see him often at these homeless things, and he, well, you know, we're helping the veterans. Well, yeah, we give them poison food, or, you know, I mean, out of date food. But you know what? They're just little.
Well, you know, and then they had her arrested, Kizon arrested at the YWCA, and there's some great information about that. It was an arrest that many of you will frown upon, and we're going to talk about that in the near future. Because it's not what meets the eye, but it does show you how conniving and contriving this whole entire system. There is a system of basically what the Veterans Administration is in Honolulu, in Hawaii, is a group of elite people who have found themselves in a clique, and this clique complements itself by protecting and screwing the veteran, and dare not allow that veteran to have a voice. And if there even is in place a voice, they rob that because behind closed doors. And then the next thing you see, when Tulsi Gabbard needs a photo opportunity, when Hirano needs a photo opportunity, when our other Lauren Cheap out there, Kizon went to her too. Young people in the legislature process. And they did nothing to us. So imagine if you were to receive, this person writes a letter to all of these legislators.
Oh, sure.
And then the legislator pisses down the levy and nothing happened. You're emboldened then. You're encouraged as an administrator to screw the next person or anybody. Because guess what?
Oh, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. And, it's like, what's that gal? Connie Mitchell from the IHS. You know, I every time I see them, Daryl Vincent, they get together and they seem to be having such a good time with each other, you know. But then the poor homeless folks, you know. And can I just do one other point with my dear wife too? You know, in that year, that nightmare that she had in the park for about a year, where no one was helping. I was pleading. I was going to the suicide crisis. I was going everywhere. And they put her in jail 3 times in that year. They dumped her in darn old Triple C for about 4 or 5 days at a time. And then they dump her, you know, they dump you out of the darn jail. It was, you know, she had to try and flag down a taxi to get back to Kailua Town. And then I had to pay the taxi fare and all that. But the thing is, they don't even give you bus fare when you get out of prison. You know, bye-bye, nice knowing you, you know.
Okay.
And this is the kind of goddamn system we have, you know.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't really give you anything back. And one last point, I'll let you go because I know you're talking more about the veteran thing. But in that 1 year, her and I'd like to frame that really. Her Medicare bill was $186,000, and you know what? And she didn't even get housing for that. You know, I mean that's the way this barn system is.
Well, we'll take up like we
protect each other.
We discussed earlier. You and I will discuss it in the near future, actually. But right now, the problem is. This U.S. veterans, remember I reported on the show where I was talking to one of their administrators, and I said, gee, my God, you're speaking as if these are monkeys. Oh, that's it, sir. I'm going to end this conversation because you should never use the word monkey and God in the same sentence. You understand? So,
I hear that all the time. I have listeners and representatives. They just run away from me.
Well,
you know,
okay, but anyway,
I want to talk to you about this. And
okay,
that.
Well, thank you. All right, bye. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is not speaking from a point of anger; it's disgust, because you see, these people are not answerable to anyone. Colin Kippen, the governor's czar, showed up at a meeting with Kizon. The lawyers and Dahlberg, and that's Dr. Andrew Dahlberg, I guess, PhD. He sits in a seat there that, you know, he has great power. And in this meeting, oh, well, you know, I will admit, says Daryl Vinson, they were wrong. My staff was wrong. We will correct that. I will admit they were wrong. They had her medical records and other and sitting out, and she informed them, and they wouldn't think, so she took possession of her own medical records. You read, oh, she stole medical records. You see, the people, the Hiranos, Tulsi Gabbard, I mean, you know, Gabbard is an active duty person in the military, and Takai, you know, we don't, you write to these people, and when they do nothing, that says a signal to Daryl Vinson, hey, kick them, screw them, slap them, spit in their face, let them sleep under the bridge. It's okay with us. Just be there when we need you to give us a sound bite so that we can look good. You see, it's a business. And so Colin Kippen came and should have not been there because, first of all, it had nothing to do with him. It's a VA, and he was a state housing person. So why was he there anyway? But you see, this is what they do. It's a game they play. Any threat to either one of us is a threat to all of us. So we convene and go and we kick that person while they're down. And then when by being present, we give the impression to the judiciary and anybody else that, hey, if you got this collection of people, look at this crowd. Look at this group of people here. Do you think we would have convened a meeting together that I, Colin Kippen, would tolerate such abuse as she's alleging? Do you think, you know, and you get that kind of exchange, and that's the game that's being played here. When I submit that there are most of them involved are self-serving, it pays well, and they get to play well. And so, And doing this, I wanted to know that, you see, they arrested Kizon, and there's a great details to that. And I have pictures of the expired numbers on the meat. I have pictures of the expired numbers on the soda pops and all. So you think, you have to ask yourself, and then I heard somewhere Vincent had said, well, it's not a big deal, you know. The date means one thing, but hey, look, if you're getting upwards of 60 some million dollars to operate a facility, you shouldn't be feeding people dog food. You know, because are you saying that you need the expired food that you're going to feed the veterans on this flagship program you have, getting new jobs, writing resumes, and all of that, that you are so destitute, your program is so impacted that you don't have money, so therefore you need to rely or resort to feeding veterans expired food because it's cheap and free, and it supplements that 60-some million dollar budget that you have and you receive. And we don't know how much they're getting, U.S. Vets is getting to manage the Waianae facility. But it's enough to make you think. And let's, you know, one to talk about, we'll go back to McDermott later and others and Sloan's and all those Mr. America, and you go by the houses and whatever, you see the flag there, they're draped in the flag, but a veteran come with the problem, well, if I can use you to make myself look good and make the party look like we're the take back American country, oh damn, hop on. But if you're just coming here and saying you're being victimized by the system, that's not what we really stand for. You see, we got to have some benefit from this project. And so you have a charade, you have an orchestration to conceal the facts. And if we can all agree that, well, if it was reported and proven that people were dying on the waiting list, and the waiting list getting doctors were longer than a year at some facilities, then could we possibly say that there are problems here, systemic problems, institutional problems? And so I wanted to, and we're going to talk more in length about this, but I wanted to, this is Andrew Dahlberg, all right? And so we went to look at some court records to say, and I want to make sure that you understand that what I'm going to read is, it comes from the District Court of First Circuit Court. And it's an application for a TRO, temporary restraining order. Now, this is against Andrew Dahlberg. Now, if Kizon is guilty of blowing the whistle, and so therefore it was never, you know, didn't say she did anything illegal or wrong or contrary to the VA's that would be sufficient enough basis to deny you a place in a homeless shelter, then we talk about character. And these are the people that decide. So here's this Dahlberg, Andrew Dahlberg. It was filed, the TRO request was filed in 2013. Now, mind you, it was denied. But let me remind you that it was in court records. This person sought to get a restraining order. And basically, this person is saying, I was injured while working on 3-4-2013 and were a custom cast on my foot. I filed an EEO complaint in 3-8-2013 against Andrew Dahlberg for retaliation after he removed me from my office, replacing me with two other social workers on 2-28. On 4-10-2013, while leaving the homeless office with my right hand on the door, Andy shoved the office door into me until I was backed against the wall. I hit my head several times. The door hit my chin. Andy stood smack in my face. When I regained consciousness, was stunned and shook up. No one there was helpful. There were three present, acknowledged my confusion. Andy ignored me and slammed the door behind him. At 4:30 that day, I notified my second supervisor, Dr. Hirsch, and the Labor Relations Office, Allison Ibazago, Zaza. Dr. Hirsch filed a report of the incident. Now, I called in sick, 412, and I hid in the clinic on 415, returned to meeting with my supervisor, Andy Dahlberg, who I perceived as my attacker. On 416, 2013, at 340, I asked Officer Derek Barnes to stand with me, watch with me, while I remove my personal files from one of the cabinets. This is not the first time I have been subjected, exposed to his Andy's aggressions. On 4/17, 2013, I saw my therapist. I'm sorry. This is in handwriting. And for 45 minutes, I have been experiencing sleeplessness, anxiety, fear, and rage at the same time. I filed a report with the provost marshal and submitted photos of his investigation for his investigation. Andy Dahlberg has written me up for insubordination and sending threatening emails demanding meetings with him. So anyway, she states, I plan to pursue charges against him, against Andrew Dahlberg. Mr. Dahlberg has my personal information as a result of filing on my... Now, folks, again, this isn't something that went to court. This is a formal statement submitted, an affidavit submitted on behalf of a person who made the statement, and the courts denied it for whatever reason. She filed another one. But the point is, if this is true, and this person, and I can't find anywhere where this person was arrested for providing false statements to the courts and making false information and causing false arrests and giving false information to the courts. So this is the situation that veterans are exposed to. And we're going to talk greater in depth of this. And if you are inclined to do something, because you can get donations is fine, but, you know, we give Kizon donations. She still has to go back to the doctor, to the VA. She still, for her breast cancer issues and for her heart issues. So we may give her money for to lay her head down, but then she still got to go back to the jungle. A jungle of people that sit there and get annoyed when you ask them, well, just for the sake of due process, can you memorialize it with accuracy and detail as what was conveyed to you, Mr. Veterans Administration, so that she can exercise her rights? And maybe there's someone amongst these legislators who have a real place in their heart for veterans, not one that's just superficial and, you know, give me my pin so I'm going to be on TV and make a speech. I'm going to the veterans parade and whatever, and I'm going to be riding next to General whatever. We need to get out of that mode. There are soldiers, active duty. There are former soldiers and veterans that are dying as we talk, as we sit, and the cowards that sit behind those desks and call themselves administrators of the veteran programs are just that, because no good American would ever, ever do that to a veteran anyway, first of all. But then to practice it openly and support one another and then subject a veteran to this kind of nonsense and tell them, if you sign a waiver that you won't be a whistleblower again and report illegal activities on part of the U.S. vets, then I think I can use my authority as a state legislator, state representative in the House, Republican. I can help you. So, my question is, who really needs the help? People are entrenched in these jobs all the way to the top. And we're going to talk about Misty Kuyuma and all of those people. And we'll get to it, and hopefully, some of you later can make some effort to help, or write to your legislators and demand that Daryl Vincent provide Tina Kazon a place as a veteran. She's homeless. There's nothing that prevents her from that. And if they claim that, well, she broke the law and we had her arrested, well, we got an answer for that one too, ladies and gentlemen. And I think you'd be really, really pleased and upset at the same time to know the outcome of that, those trumped up charges and what have you. And we're purposely holding off for a few reasons, but just know that they falsely arrested her and manufactured things that were not true. So we'll be back in the next 5 minutes, or if the news here works. But this is the Carol Cox Show. We're talking about VA Veterans Administration. And we just need to get it right, folks, because I'm going to tell you, there's a gaggle of people running around, and we're going to go in greater details about how the church folks are involved and how the process is luring veterans and being referenced and referred to programs, and then you find yourself having to endure and listen to the discussion about same-sex, how President Obama is a transvestite and a transgender, and his wife is, and these are people that are operating at the expense of the veterans and being compensated, representing that they're working for the VA administration and preaching this garbage. So we'll be back in shortly, and this is the Carol Cox Show. CarolCox.com. You can get it on if you're having scratchy reception.
Back when I had a little, I thought that I needed a lot. A little was overrated, but a lot was a little too complicated. See, zero didn't satisfy me, a million didn't make me happy. That's when I learned the lesson that it's all about your perceptions. Hey, are you a papa or a superstar? So you act, so you feel, so you are. It ain't about the size of your car, it's about the size of the faith in your heart. There's hope, it doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh, you better thank God for that. There's hope, it doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh, you better thank God for that. Off in the back country of Brazil, I met a young brother that made me feel that I could accomplish anything. You see, just like me, he wanted to sing. He had no windows and no doors. He lived a simple life and was extremely poor. On top of all of that, he had no eyesight, but that didn't keep him from seeing the light. He said, us are like in the USA, and all I did was complain. Living here is paradise. He taught me paradise is in your mind. You know that there's hope, it doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh, you better thank God for that. There's hope, it doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh, you better thank God for that. Every time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy, there's hope. If you let it, it'll drive you crazy, there's hope. I'm taking back my power today, there's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising, there's hope. The government, they keep on lying. We gotta keep on surviving, keep living our truth and do the best we can do, cause there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh, you better thank God for that. Show the world your smile. There's hope.
thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We're talking VA, U.S. vets, and you know what. Anyway, it's unfortunate that I have to sit here and do this, because there are people out there that are making millions on the backs of veterans. And we know that veterans are killing themselves. And we know that there are professional people out there. We know this to be true and evident. And that is, there are people that will volunteer their help to veterans, to train them, to do resumes, to give them jobs. But what if, and this is a what if all of these people, the veterans, were successful, or we had a high ratio of success in depleting the population of depleting the population out there of homeless veterans? Who do you think would suffer? Well, if the homeless veteran has a job and has a home and can live with dignity from here and come from under the bridge or not hang himself or herself, the veteran would win. But what if your program would be guaranteed to receive some $68 million to nurture and supposedly care for these veterans and enhance their ability to obtain jobs, but you really get the money and you don't do anything per se, and no one gauges you on your success of training and job placement and reduction in housing and what have you? Who do you think would be more aggressive to put it out there? And then, you know, if you're like a city councilwoman, state representative, Kimberly Pine, where you can actually work for them and get an office and be housed in their facility, and then, you know, what do you think? Who do you think is going to stand up and speak up for the veterans? I don't know. I just asked the question. But there's many flaws here. And to watch this great, it's a ruse, per se, that I've come to witness, and that is, it's one big lie. I know veterans personally, and I know their daily struggle, and I know they would love to get a job, but it doesn't pay the agencies or the government entities, or it doesn't look well if you're perfect, you're batting 1,000 in educating these people. Then you would have a problem. That money is going to go dry on the vine. So I believe there is a concerted effort on the part of all involved, to include the politicians, to, it feels good to strap on your Captain American helmet, or to stand and give a speech about veterans and your caring. But none of you that advocate on the behalf of the veterans in the houses and the legislators and in government have ever come to say, here, public, here is our return on our dollars. This is what we're really getting for our money. This is what we have done. We've educated 160 veterans this month alone, and they have job placement. Do we get any reports like that? I haven't seen one. So we're pretty much dug a hole for ourselves, and the real Americans who care about the veterans. I mean, really care. You know, there's a guy like me who just sits on the radio and then make trouble against this perfect system that and talk stink about, you know, that it ain't working and what have you. You know, the kind that just a mouthpiece, you know, trash mouth. And then there's Captain American, who says to the same veteran that comes to me with the problem and says, "Well, you are a whistleblower, and if you sign here promising not to be a whistleblower again, by golly, I think I can help you." And you go away and you represent, I don't know the guy, but it's some black guy that I talk to. And then my words for all you sensitive ears out there, when it's talk like this, you know, sorry about that. We'll massage your ears later. But you get this kind of nonsense in government. The United States government, the state government, we should put our veterans on a pedestal, because, like myself, I'm benefiting. To sit here and throw stones and be critical of a system, I owe that freedom to those veterans and myself that have served in the military. I owe that freedom of speech. But we don't have a freedom to screw the veterans and pocket the money, and then live as if nothing's wrong. And when one pops up and speaks out and says, "I've been harmed, or I've been violated, I've been cheated, I've been denied my rights like any other veteran," then you move to isolate that person, demonize that person, ostracize that person, and slam them. So I want to firsthand share with you, I mentioned this Captain American, Bob McDermott, and I know it's such a nasty thing to say, isn't it, guys? I mean, I agree with you. Boy, I tell you, that Carol Cox, I can't believe he would do that. He's not going to get anywhere like that. He's going to catch more flies with honey. You know, he needs to learn. Well, no, Carol Cox is saying there is something terribly wrong, and you've bought it, and we need to change the ways of these people and the mindset from top to bottom. We need to clean house. I'm willing to put everything that I know and own and have built my name on it to say that it's treacherous. It's a big lie. Our veterans are not being served properly. So for some while I've had Tina Cazone on air, on hold here. So I'm going to invite her on and ask her to just share with us briefly. You know, I mentioned when you go to the veterans programs and they refer you, someone earlier said they tell you to go here and there. And I'm going to ask her to give an account her interactions with Bob McDermott, and then her interaction and how it finds its way into the church and the discussion of the church, that how Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, mind you, man who was legally and dutifully and democratically voted in, is being slammed by these people that are supposed to be serving the American way. Tina, good morning. Thank you for calling and holding on. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
Right, and someone asked where are you staying now. Where and are you doing okay for... Let them hear. What's your status?
I'm currently at the Disabled Veterans Lodge at Kahi Lagoon. My cardiac doctor and Rose, because he told me I can't go back to my car, got me over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be here for a few more days, but there, if it's not a doctor visit, it is a $25 charge, and it's a 7-day max
mm-hmm.
that you can stay.
Mm-hmm. Tina, you were referred to Bob. You contacted Bob McDermott, and that led to another number of introductions through McDermott, right?
Yes.
How did that? First of all, is there any mistruth, or have I spoken inaccurately about what I represented about McDermott telling you to sign a waiver as a whistleblower? Could you tell us the story real quick, please?
Yes, I met with Representative Bob McDermott at his state capitol offices, and I believe it was on about the 15th of July. And after telling him my plight, the breast cancer, being homeless, he basically said to me that if I will sign a waiver that I won't whistleblow, then he will go to the U.S. Vets in the VA to get me some help.
Mm-hmm. And did he do that?
He did.
Mm-hmm.
He did, and he came back to tell me that the black guy said, no way, they won't help me.
Let's clarify something. When you're quoting him as saying the black guy, you're not describing Daryl Vincent as the black guy, correct?
Yes. I believe he said the head guy, the top guy,
mm-hmm.
Daryl Vincent.
Okay.
Said that no way, he won't help me. No one, mm-hmm. no one will help me.
Mm-hmm. And why did he explain why they would not help you?
Because he told me, because I'm a troublemaker and I'm a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm. And so give us a little bit about this. What were you exposed to? Did he try to preach to you or share with you his efforts to come to wipe out or address the same-sex marriages or lesbian, gays, and other transgender? Did that ever?
While I was at his office, I was quite surprised that the agenda turned from me, a homeless veteran needing help against the retaliation and the harassment and the VA, Andrew Dahlberg, and Daryl Vincent refusing to help me, to his agenda with his Ohana policy group, and he actually pulled up from his state computer and started showing me his documents that him and his assistant have created for their Ohana policy group against homosexuals and the porno choice, and started talking about his fight for against same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm. Now, he referred you to other people for assistance, correct?
Yes.
And who were they?
He referred me to, and I got a call from U.S. Vet employee Eric Hurd,
mm-hmm.
who told me he couldn't meet me at the U.S. Vet Bishop Street office, that he would meet me off-site. And I met the gentleman at Zippy's
mm-hmm.
on Vineyard.
And what took place in that conversation during your meeting with him?
Well, I was quite taken back because the conversation was nothing about helping me, a homeless veteran. Eric started to tell me about how he's a pastor and that I'm blacklisted and the government's not going to help me. And President Barack Obama is a homosexual and that his wife, Michelle Obama, is a transgender. And I just was in disbelief.
So
here I am sitting.
So what happened is that you went there under the referral of Bob McDermott to meet with this U.S. veterans, Eric Hurd, employment specialist or housing. You thought you were going for housing or what?
I thought I was going to go to get help for as a homeless.
Okay,
veteran.
So for housing.
Yes.
Okay, but then you get there, he tell you he don't do housing, but he does jobs. But then the discussion didn't enter into the discussion of jobs, obtaining jobs either, did it?
No, it didn't.
It took a line of on its own to talk about the President of the United States and how people and lesbian, gays, and transgenders were taking over the world, so to speak. Am I accurate?
Yes. That's absolutely correct.
All on the time that it supposedly you knew that it was referred to you as a U.S. Vets employee. And so what then? You had an occasion to meet his wife, and then what happened? They wanted you to meet a doctor and then tell you that you had to pay?
Yes, at the same meeting, Eric Hurd starts telling me how I have post-traumatic stress and that everybody has post-traumatic stress. And he wants me to meet with his doctor, who is a part of his team.
Now, stop for a minute. Eric heard tell you this is his first meeting. Had he done any assessment, mental assessment, or a clinical assessment evaluation of you?
No.
So
he didn't write one paper.
No. Forget the paper writing. Did he sit down and interview you, make an assessment? Did he have other professionals? Had anyone ever concluded professionally, clinically, that you have PTSD?
No,
How did he come up with that?
He just said everyone has it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, why we need to just not go to the doctor? So I
was quite surprised and shocked.
Mm-hmm. So what then? You met his wife. What did his wife was it along the same lines about the president and the president's wife and homosexuality and what have you?
It absolutely was, and even questioning if President Obama's children are his children.
Mm-hmm.
So the wife reiterated and told me how Mrs. Obama is a transgender, and Eric even said how they could see the bulge in between her legs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video that shows a side view showing her bulge.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really...
Yeah, I understand. So you have that portion of the conversation, but then you end up going to their church where McDermott was there. He referred you to these people. And then
yes.
He also goes and attends some service church there. Is that correct?
Yes, and they're calling that where they're claiming they're saving children and veterans, and that all the veterans' children have been sold to sex trafficking, and it's just a continuation against homosexuality and homosexuals, and this whole thing about transgender and gays and lesbians.
Mm-hmm. So, getting all this right, do you believe what you saw is a connection to this Pono choice of same mindset where McDermott brings out these posters and try to pitch you and then finally tell you? Originally, I thought you had shared with me that was a purpose of you being invited because they were going to be, it was about anti-gay, anti-sex, same-sex, and the gathering at this church. Is that correct?
Yes, and a lot of the literature was mentioned homosexuality, and
mm-hmm.
and my belief was that this is the agenda, and what I'm told from Eric is that's his mission as a pastor.
Okay, so you then had this whole introduction came while you were doing a visit to McDermott in his official state office as state representative. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you go there thinking that you're going to get help from Bob McDermott, state representative, who advocate for veterans and the rights of free people, but you end up being sucked into a system where it was all about anti-gay, Pono choice, same-sex, and what have you. And you had indicated, I think, that he posted some, presented something about anal sex and what have you, but you were there to talk to him about your homeless situation and your being excluded or ostracized unfairly by the U.S. veterans, correct?
Yes.
And did he ever get anything done on that? Now, he did, in fact, do a fundraiser for you at one time, did he not? And then what transpired with that? How did that come about? Did he originally, they were going to do a fundraiser, and then they struck out and says, why are you doing that for her? She's a trouble, is it something? What was that situation?
Yes. I started being told from Mr. McDermott's a part of the Navy League, and a fundraiser letter went out to, I believe the name of it was All Things Worth Saving. I believe the gentleman is a David Livingston, who is a close associate with Mr. McDermott in the Navy League, and I began to be told by Linda Herman, who had referred me originally to Mr. McDermott, that David Livingston is getting threats because he is attempting to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And people are upset. And why would you help this woman? She's a troublemaker and a whistleblower, basically. And I'm told I actually get to meet the gentleman, Mr. David Livingston. Mr. McDermott had invited me to the Medal of Honor ceremony that
mm-hmm.
he put together as a private ceremony through the Navy League at the Admiral's Boathouse.
Okay. So let me ask you this. As a whistleblower, what have you blown the whistle on? Or can you tell us, Cheryl, with the listeners, what are some of the things that you brought to the attention of our legislators in your complaints? You wrote to Shinseki. You
yes.
also spoke directly to McDonald, the new secretary. You
yes.
file complaints with the OIG of and what were some of those that information that are those complaints that you blew the whistle on?
My medical and personal records being left out unattended, and I secured and notified Mr. Gerald Winston.
Mm-hmm.
I was denied the right to video the grand opening. I was told I could not video on the inside. I had to stand out in the street.
But you were told earlier that you were allowed. We've covered that part on the show here. You were
correct.
You were told you could, and then they revoked that and say you couldn't, but you'd already started. So then what else? You reported the serving of expired meats?
Yes, and Brenda Leach Garcia, who was a National Guard reservist going on active duty and being told from the U.S. vet that she would have to get out of the program and become homeless while she served her country for 2 weeks on active duty.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda Leach Garcia was banging her head against the wall in a concrete wall at the U.S. Vet YWC, Fernhurst, distraught, saying how, you know, I'm getting ready to serve my country and I have to become homeless.
So Vincent tells her she can't, and so you observe her. You took pictures, actually, of her doing, because she had asked you to help document this, but then you were also assaulted the day that you were, quote, evicted from YWCA, correct?
Yes.
And in the eviction, in the complaint, did Daryl Vincent show up at any of that in the hearings or the court matter? You went to court with this. Did he show up?
No.
Did any of his personnel get involved in the actual filing of the complaint?
Yes.
Who was that?
Jennifer Lloyd, the clinical supervisor.
And then she came to court and testified?
No.
Okay, what did she do?
She told the YWCA that I was no longer allowed to be in the program, yet she could not present any documentation.
Mm-hmm.
They told the police that they were creating the documentation that I was no longer allowed in the program and to evict me.
Now, jumping around here, McDonald told you, well, back up. You know they said that they were sending you guys to Fernhurst to learn job training and writing resumes and all. What kind of classes were they actually giving you guys?
They didn't have ducks in order. They didn't have someone to come in and do the job training. They were still working on.
So did you receive job training? Did you receive job training in that during that time?
No.
I don't care if they had the ducks in a row or not. Did the point was that they were what? That's what they supposedly had set this facility up for, right?
Yes.
So did they give you guys any job training?
We got arts and craft classes.
Oh, arts and craft, what were you making there? Wings for an angel? what do you mean, arts and craft? This is millions of dollars being spent. Millions of dollars being spent, and you went go to learn paper mache and arts and craft?
Yes.
Really?
Because they said they didn't have their funding correct to send a job person that They didn't have the standard operating procedures, is what Andrew Dahlberg put into a March note. And so they were still trying to get their program together and still had 15 empty beds.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have lived now, you're homeless, you've endured the bout with breast cancer, then you now have had heart surgery. Would you blow the whistle again?
Yes.
Why would you? I mean, and knowing all these angels out here ready to stab you again, what would motivate you to do that?
The truth is the truth.
Mm-hmm. And so, do you believe you've been unfairly treated?
Yes.
And as a veteran, you don't think the world, or do you? Do you think the world owe you anything, or is it just that this program is available and you felt that you were entitled to it because it is available, and others felt maybe that's what they need to do, to thank veterans who may find their way, themselves in a difficult position in life? Is that's why you put it in there, or you think somebody owe you something?
No one owes me anything, but as a veteran,
mm-hmm.
those are my benefits.
Mm-hmm. Because they're there, and someone said we need to acknowledge. And there are many ways people can become homeless, 1,001 ways, but one of the key things is that if you have a program that says we're training people for jobs and they don't get any training, then that person is left in the sump. And eventually, how do they transition when they're in a program that supposedly is funded by the federal government and the state government, and then it fails them, and then the state government moves in to say, liar, liar, your pants on fire, you're a whistleblower, we're going to get rid of you, you're out. And then when you go knocking on the doors to Governor Neil Abercrombie, Colin Kippen, Ron Hahn, name a list of the people. You got a list of look like everybody in America in with authority. You've contacted them, and what did they do for you?
Governor Abercrombie told me it was not a state matter; it was a federal matter. And yet, Colin Kippen was sitting at the table, and Ron Hahn.
In your meeting that was discussing private matters, but the governor says what? It's not a state matter.
Correct. I contacted the Hawaii Women's Veterans Task Force, which Patricia Turan Matthews is a part of. Ann Freed is a part of. Noe Foster. None of them did anything. It was the same thing everywhere I went. When I called Tulsi Gabbard as Brenda Leith Garcia was banging her head against the wall, pleading for help, that the mistreatment that was continuing at this U.S. Vets YWCA program, all Tulsi did was come down and take some photo pictures with Daryl Vincent and Dr. Kim Cook.
But isn't that what a politician is supposed to do? Get pictures with the people that's bringing in the money, right? You can get more votes from. Can you imagine standing there with a picture of you and saying, I'm standing here with the whistleblower that blew the whistle on an entity that is not managing state monies properly, we think, and so therefore, which one you think will get more votes? You standing there with you, I'm here with Tina Pizzon, who's been wronged, and the veteran, they don't think in those. Hold on for a second. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Tina. I don't know if you remember me, but you came out to photograph my condition of my wife in a park in Kailua a couple of years ago, and I remember you very, very well, and I'm wishing you well. And I kind of know what you've gone through, not being veterans, but just going through this darn system, and then wherever you go, they really can't help you. By the way, there might be someone else that might help you, and you go to them, and the same kind of stuff. And if you talk about Colin Kippen, for one, I started complaining that the homeless shelter about how terrible things were, and he kind of said, well, you know, we're working on it, and you know, and I never did ever get a meeting with him, although for 10 years. that he promises, we're going to fix things. So I really empathize with you anyway.
Hold on, Dave. Hold on for a minute. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. Comment or question?
What's up, Carol Cox?
Not much. How are you doing? I'm sure you got something good to tell us this morning. You're not in that mode, are you?
I haven't talked to you in a while, you know.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, it was nice talking to you. You got anything else?
We got the 49ers taking out the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Oh no, I'm just through. I can feel for what she's going through, and when you speak out, they'll make your life miserable, man. I'll tell you.
But the intent is just to do away with that. I mean, it's a sad commentary, you know, that I'll probably have more detractors and people asking, well, you know, you shouldn't talk about those guys like that, or you should say it in a different way and a little more, being a little more polite. But how do you see steaming manure, and what do you do to cover it up, right? Because manure is not just... looks bad, it smells bad. So no matter what you do, it stinks. And if we're going to have this charade of people running around and all of these veterans groups, there should not be one single veteran. Like the Marines, they don't leave anybody behind, right?
Sure.
So why is it on dry land in peacetime when a person is down on their luck or things didn't work or were you a part of a system that was supposed to afford you some benefits, did not, and then you find yourself even in a bigger predicament, worse predicament, and they then continue to kick you, and the people with authority turn their backs and embolden them by saying.
The social contract, you know, we all make, we do our part, and then when we're in need, the system is supposed to be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I find out the system ain't there for you.
Memorial Day. Yeah.
But you know, here's another thing. Where'd all that money go? You see it in the millions? Where's all this money going?
Yeah, where is it? I mean, I would like to see an audit. You know, Captain America, should have said, hey, Tina, thank you. I see some problems. But instead, you understand, to show you how he refers to Daryl Vincent as the black guy to Tina Kazon, he didn't know the guy. And then here he is on YouTube, has an interview where he's sitting there talking to the guy. See, it makes them feel good. It makes them look good amongst themselves. They walk around and bump chests with one another. But the reality is that there are soldiers, ex-soldiers, veterans, living under bridges. No shelter, while they are masquerading as being people of great Americans. You know, the American way. Take back our country. Really? I'm learning now, we can take back our country by getting people out that sing these praises that really they're empty. No way should any of them. And McDermott is not the only one that is slacked off on the job. Kimberly Pine and many of the Democrats who talk about soldiers in action and we're going to benefit them. There is no way. Whatever it is, if Tina Kazon is qualified to receive medical treatment at Triple Army Hospital, then she's qualified to receive a bed and a homeless shelter paid for and sponsored by the United States government, Veterans Administration.
Well, I find that incredible. $25 a day. I can't believe this. What's the matter with
We hope to get some traction here soon, we'll unfortunately, it is what it is, and we got everybody. I'm trying to get in touch with Calvin Griffin. I mean, he's an advocate for the veterans, and everybody out there need to speak up. You see, enough of this bull that they're running around preaching and teaching and talking. If one veteran, don't look at the individual, look at the systemic problem. That's where we can fix it. If you look at the individual, oh, well, she must have done something wrong. You must have pissed them off. You must have done this. You must, you know, and that's a way of escaping and shirking your responsibility. And many of these people say they volunteered to help veterans. So, you know, either get out of the way or go ahead and follow through with the volunteerism and advocate for the veterans rather than leaving them in the lurch or leaving them hanging. That's just wrong.
You know what, Carol, the really unbelievable thing, mind-boggling really, I think it's like 22 are committing suicide every day. I mean, what's the matter with us? Because they've given up hope on the darn system. And even sometimes when you get in the darn system, you find out they've done with Gina.
The problem is it becomes worse and is when systems go bad and they can be flawed and they can be. Here's where I believe, and I've spoken to some of the veterans. Here's where the system is what it is. It's when the checks and balances that should be in place that are not in place, and when they turn like Tina has turned to every legislator that she could possibly write to, and appeal to the governor and appeal to the governor's czar of homelessness, and still get screwed. That's where the problem lies, because the people that are advocating, they in turn, well, you must have done something to piss them off. It's not about pissing people off. It's about if you are in that position, you better come up with an explanation that Tina Quizon violated the law in such a matter that she is prohibited and she was defrauding the government, and it was a crime which she committed that prohibits her from receiving a homeless shelter.
By the way, is that YWCA, is that still open to the vets?
No, they closed that, but we're going to be talking about them in the coming weeks because
we'll
they... All right, well, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah. Okay. My best to you.
All righty.
Thank you, Dave.
Aloha.
Anyway, 524-1080 if you want to call in and have a comment, a question. If you don't like my delivery, I can understand. But if you are not annoyed with this, either me or the system, then, you know, hopefully you come around and pay a little attention. But it's just unfortunate. And so, Tina, I was going to go back to one thing, and this has little to do with you and I have talked about the treatment. But you were in McDermott's office, and he looked at you, and what was that exchange about? You have a pretty face or something. Can you share with my listeners out there what transpired?
Yes. He told me, you know, when you were younger, you must have really been a looker. You know, that I have a pretty face.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I just didn't know why would he be saying something like that to me?
I asked you that because so you go there to just to bring back and swing its full circle. And I know there's people out there going to say, well, you know, if he wanted them to work with him, he shouldn't be so critical of them. No. It's not being critical at all. It's just reflecting who Captain America is.
Right.
That's all it is. I'm saying that when the door says you can get help here, we are the American right and justice and truth and all. And when you go in that door, that's what you should receive and experience and have an advocate for you. Not someone that's trying to recruit you and send you down the pipe to become a recruited person who speaks foul of the President of the United States and his family and recruiting people and trying to get money. So back to this church and this Eric Hurd. You were told by, and you met with a Dr. Mickens, right? And
yes.
Where Mickens, the final outcome was that You're homeless. You start off going there from a referral from McDermott, but you end up sitting there meeting with them and learning that you can get medical care from them if you pay them $100. Is that correct?
Yes.
You, now, not the VA wouldn't pay it, but you've already told them you have no money. You already told
correct.
Them you're homeless. but they can treat you for your PTSD because everybody has it, but you've never been evaluated with PTSD clinically or professionally. But they looked at you and said, ah, PTSD. You can pay us, what was it, $100 per session?
$100 cash.
Per session. Each session.
Yes.
And how long was a session supposed to last?
He didn't specify. He just said, I needed this. It was urgent. Eric Hurd, the U.S. Vets employee, said that Dr. Nickin would need to heal my PTSD, and they could do that at Eric's church in Waipahu. And Dr. Nickens had me talk to his, it was going to be $100 cash, mm-hmm. knowing that I'm homeless and I have no money. I just didn't know at this point. I'm going, what is this? Mm-hmm. I'm being told that President Obama is a homosexual and his wife is a transgender by Angela, Eric's wife, and by Eric. And Eric's really agenda was to tell me how much he's against homosexuals.
Right.
It
has
nothing to do with my homelessness.
And these are people that Captain American Bob McDermott sent, referred you to in, to their All right, Bob. I like that. Now, you know, I didn't know those things about Bob. That's pretty good. He's connected. You know, it's, yeah. Well,
he also shared his Ohana Policy group while I was there at the state capitol, showed me the website, and actually printed his, what he calls his fight against Kono choices, his McDermott report from his Ohana Policy group, from his, you know, his computer at the state capitol.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite bewildered at all of this because I thought I was going there as a homeless veteran for help against the retaliation and the denial of housing and, and homeless services.
Well, with no promises, we've hung in there this long, but it is what it is, and we'll keep. Now, you know, there's a couple things we're waiting to take place, and eventually, I think we'll. Either someone's going to step up to the plate and do what's right for you or for all veterans, or it'll be my intent to just make sure that we get them on the airwaves and tell their story. So when they step up to the plate and want to be appointed to an office or be elected, we'll remind the voters that or that they should not be trusted. So thank you, and hang in there, and we will talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right, Tina Quizon.
Take care.
So, guys, so what happens here is that now I know many of you out there, you know, I've learned in this town that like everybody like to say, well, it could be worse, you know, and you'll never get anything done if you're critical of the people, and you know, in that vein. And I am willing to submit to you that if it's broken this badly, if one person can be rescued from the street, one person from a, by, rescued by a system that's in place whose purpose it is to serve the likes of that person, then that's accomplishment. But if one person find themselves on the out with an entity that still has pockets of money, still has passage to the state government and the federal government programs and grants and loans and competition bids, then we are wrong. All of us as citizens. And if our legislators can't be receptive and understand that if a Tina Quizon or myself or anyone contact them and say, let me tell you about an injustice that I've experienced or received that I've had projected on me. And they burden you with filling out the papers. You know, it's a privacy matter, so you must sign the document to give us authority to inquire on your behalf. And so what we do is We take that information, and then we contact the Dow or Vincent's, and we say, Tina Kazan has filed a complaint advising this. Can you answer this? And he answered, and they write back saying, here's your answer from Daryl Vincent. This is the way the system works. So now Daryl Vincent and the others, the likes of him, will say, well, you know what, you went and squealed on us, and you're going to make trouble for us. And then you got a Kimberly Pine, who we tried to get her records, that lied and says we don't have any communication with them, but she had an office in Hawaii in the U.S. Vets program. And so, again, when you have that kind of behavior where government participates, where you go into Mr. Bob McDermott, state representative, you know him, you can't miss him because everything American he stands for, everything, you know. And I can only say to you is that once you know what he's done, and just be reminded that what she has said to you on air, she has very well documented in the best fashion that you can document something. We'll leave it at that. So if he denies that, then I would encourage him to give me a call, and we'll present that publicly so that all of you can listen for yourselves of these conversations that this gentleman has put out there. And the door says, come in, we'll help you. But the behavior says, don't let the door hit you in the butt as you go out. And that is just wrong. And so we must be reminded of this and know that when a veteran comes, and I heard something, and I don't know this, and if any of you know any different, please tell me. But I was told that a breast cancer in a woman is in the category is treated as plastic surgery type of treatment. But prostate for men is treated as a serious medical problem. If any of you know anything about that, or if there's such a statement or someone has tried to discern or distinguish the two, if that is true, then that speaks for Kizon is a female. And does it make it more problematic because she is a woman? I know. Don't go there. Well, it's worth asking. So there's a lot of things, and we're going to try and pull up some of the 990s, and we're going to ask, and we're going to see. And I know that some of them will probably try and pull tricks like the city has, want to charge me $4,000 for a few documents and emails that I guarantee when I get it back. You know, how do you pay the public pay $4,000? To see their emails, you see. So I'm here to say to you that it's going to get better, but it's not going to get better if you don't get involved. And if it's okay with you that everybody can promise and talk and say that this lady created problems, any of you that are veterans may need that system. And if it's permitted to behave that way, then we got problems. So we'll see you next week, and thank you for joining me. We'll talk more about this. We're going to spend a lot of time on homelessness issues because people aren't getting it. And this new, I want you to watch that one out in Waianae that the mayor is pitching now. You see, because who is going to be able to move there? What are going to be the rules? He hadn't given any of that. He's just telling you we built one. So watch it and see what we accomplish or what we don't accomplish. So we'll see you next week. This is the Carol Cox Show.
we shall overcome, Lord, one day. We shall all have peace one day. We shall all have peace one day. We shall all have peace, Lord, Lord, one day. One day, Lord, we shall all be free. One day, Lord, we shall all be free.
Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.